It is a wonderful opportunity to be able to be here, and it's just wonderful to see each and every one of you this evening. I've enjoyed my evening with you all and enjoying time to get to know you all. It's just been a blessing and encouragement to be here in California, in Bellflower, California, to be with you all. I look forward to the rest of the week. As we talked about this morning, the series of the lessons is man versus God. Man challenging God. And as we went forth and we talked this morning, we pointed out how you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice in whom you're going to put your faith in. You have to make a choice in whom you're going to follow. We have to make a choice where we want to end up. And one of the things that men have challenged to God that we're going to talk about this evening is man versus God on creation. On the creation of this world, men have challenged what we read in the Word of God. They have went forth to add to His Word, to take away from His Word, so that they can change and claim to be, of course, more wiser and knowledgeable than our Lord and Savior. To claim that we do not have to worship God because He is not our Creator. So I want to forth and I ask that you go along with me this evening to follow along to see what the Word of God, what the Bible has to say about creation and see what it is that we see men try to claim as false doctrine. That men try to claim that this world, of course, just came with a big bang or just all suddenly appeared. That man has evolved over time, that we came from simple molecules to going into fish, to monkeys, to mankind. Evolution. Men have many theories. And that's what they are. They are theories that men have tried to come up with to explain how mankind came to be, how this world came to be. And they question who God is when they do so. They question and they try to deny the Bible. First point I want to talk about this evening. I want to look and take a point. When we talk about creation, we need to realize who is God. We need to realize and take a little look at who God is. You know, we sung this song there, you know, in the storm, that the Lord is there. He is strong as a rock. We can count on Him. It's because the Lord is Almighty, God is Almighty, and they have control over such things, as we'll talk about here in this lesson this evening. A look at God. Turn along with me to the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 5, and reading there and in verse 2, here Moses was approaching the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh asked Moses this question. It says, "And the Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go.'" That is the question that too many people are asking today, is who is the Lord? Now it is a good question if you have not found Him, if you do not know Him. But brothers and sisters, if you have the Bible, we should know who our God is. Moses asked kind of a similar question back in Exodus chapter 3 when God was telling him to go and free His children, to approach the Pharaoh. And Moses asked the question, "What should I tell the elders? What and who do I tell has sent me?" So there in Exodus chapter 3 in verse 13, here it reads, and God's answer says, Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel, say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they say to me, 'What is His name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And He said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" When we consider what God is trying to say here, when He said, "I am that I am," God is pointing out you need not to question God. He is the great I am. And in the New Testament, when Jesus was teaching, He says, "No one can enter in unless they believe that I am." He is our God. That He was there in the beginning. We need to realize He's saying, I am, I always have been. God is our Creator. He is our God. In Revelation chapter 1, and reading there, and in verse 8, here it reads and says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He is the great I Am. He is the Alpha and the Omega. I like the next part though. It says, who is, who was, and who is to come. When we go forth and talk about creation, I believe there's something that we kind of overlook about creation. When we talk about when God created this world, God also created time. He established time. Understand, that's what we're reading here as He points out. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5, if you turn along with me. Genesis 1 and reading there in verse 5, and of course, I hope we all know that you can read throughout Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2 and talk about the creation, but I'm not going to read every single verse. We'll make points about almost all of them. But here in verse 5, it says, God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So evening and the morning were the first day. It was the very first day. Realizing God is outside of that time. He created time. When we look at the time frame, the timeline of mankind, and in Tom's class this morning, in the adult class that he was teaching, he had a timeline that he had up there on the wall in that classroom. And it went forth from the time of Adam and Eve, and it went through the judges, and it went through the kings, and it went through the divided kingdom, and it went forth. It was a timeline. Mankind has a timeline, but when we talk about God, we look at God's timeline, we see He was in the beginning before there was a day. He was there before this world was created. He is here now. He is still alive. We still pray to Him. He still looks after us. He still takes care. He still lives. Brothers and sisters, He is who is to come. We'll get to that more on Friday night when we talk about the end of time. But let's look at one verse, if you will turn along with me, in Revelation 21 and verse 4. When we talk about a time where we desire to be with God, a time where we can spend eternity with Him and worship Him face to face. There in verse 4 says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. No more death. That is why God says, who is to come? He will not die. He does not go away. There is not going to be a king to overtake our Lord, our King. There will be not another God to take their place. We need to realize God established time. And when we get to talking about the end of time, God will still be here. God established that. He created time. He created it. When we talk about God creating time, we see how long did it take? Scientists and men of the world today want to say that the world has been here for millions of billions and tons of years. They say that they'll try to line it up with the Bible too. They'll say each day was millions of years in between it. But when you read the verses, when you look at the verses, it doesn't go forth and say there's a million years that had went by. It doesn't say that there was millions of years that God took, and then that was one day. It says there in verse 5, it was the first day. In verse 8, it goes forth and talks about the second day. And in verse 13, talking about the fourth, and going, continuing on. And it took him 6 days to create all things in this world. 6 days, and of course on the seventh day, God rested. God created time. It says, and it was the first day, and then He went forth and created a few more things, and it was the second day, third day, fourth day. But people want to question and say that was, well, you know, shortly after we can read and see that God ended up deciding that He's going to destroy the world. And of course, He found grace in the sight of Noah. Noah found grace in the sight of God. And then Noah had to spend some time in the ark. But I don't hear many people saying that Noah spent 40 million years on the ark, rather than just 40 days and 40 nights. It's still using the same term when it says 40 days. When it goes forth and talks about how long Noah and his grandfather and great-grandfather and dad and how long they lived, no one says that was millions of years. Now they'll try to take some scriptures out of context, and we can take a look, quick look at those in 2 Peter 3, and reading there in verse 8, we read there as it reads and says, "But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." And we read a similar thing in Psalm 90. In Psalm, in the 90th Psalm, and in verse 4, here reason says, "For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night." They say, well, you know, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. Therefore, we can talk about the creation, and when it says that, what it's talking about is what we went and forth and talked about in that last timeline, in that presentation here. That God created time. That God is outside of time. And of course, God is all-knowing. He knows all the hairs on our heads. He knows all the sins that you have committed. He knows whether or not your heart is in the right place tonight. Therefore, what happened today, compared to what happened 1,000 years ago, God can remember it just like that. Unlike us humans, we have to sit there and think about it and really think hard what we ate yesterday. What happened the other day? What you were supposed to remember to get from the grocery store. God will remember it all. It wasn't saying that God created the earth and mankind in millions of years, but God created all things. And He did it in 6 days. Of course, the reason mankind tries to use the million years, it goes along with the evolution story that they try to throw at us. That we all evolved over those millions of years, but the Word of God has an explanation for that too. That within those 6 days, God created us. And we did not evolve. God created all things. All things were created by our God. And we need to realize that. We need to understand that and accept that. In John chapter 1, and starting there, and in verse 1, here it says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made." All things were made through Him. And when it's talking about the Word here, it's talking about our Lord and Savior. It's talking about Christ. You read there in verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh." Jesus was there in the beginning. He was with our Father up in heaven. He was there and all things were made through Him. You take a look back there in Genesis. Go ahead and turn back with me in Genesis. And turn there in chapter 1. We see that the Godhead, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all there in the beginning. Nothing was made without any of them. Because it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And what? And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, what do we just read in John 1? We read that the Word was there in the beginning. And the Word is referred to our Lord and Savior and says, and God said. His Word was there in the beginning. Christ was there in the beginning. God said, let there be light, and there was light. With all three of them there, all things were created. In Colossians, if you turn along with me. In Colossians chapter 1 and reading there in verse 16. Here it reads and says, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. He was there in the beginning. Nothing could be established or created without Him. Once again, we see this in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, and you can start there in verse 1, where it tells us, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. Understand here, once again, God says, I am now given authority to Christ, my Son. I speak through Him. He will be our judge. And He once again makes mention, all things were created through Him. Nothing was made without our God. God created and established all things. I'd like to be able to bring Josiah up here if he wasn't too shy and make him tell you the days of creation, what he created on them, because he can do it when he's not too shy about it and really wants to. Because God created all things. And in 6 days He did it. He went forth and created some wonderful things that we enjoy today. He created the lights. He created firmament, the grass, the trees, the flowers. He created the herbs. He created the sun and the moon and the stars and the worlds that are out there in space. He created the birds and the seas and the sea creatures. He created living creatures on the earth. And of course, He created you and me. Throughout Genesis chapter 1, you can find all those things, and I have the chart up there establishing what verses you find them at. God created these things. Simple enough, plain as can be, God said and it came about, God is our Creator. Unfortunately, that's not enough for mankind to accept. Mankind does not want to accept that. But we can look at the world. We can look at the world and see how the world in God's creation declares His glory. It shouts out the glory of God. It shouts out His awesomeness, His greatness, His power. Turn along with me to Psalm 19. In Psalm 19, reading there, and in verse 1, says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Stop there real quick. It says, the heavens declare His name. The earth, the firmament, shows His handiwork. Have we looked out in the skies, truly acknowledged how they declare God's name? No, I was excited for the flight to come here because I enjoy looking out the window of the plane and seeing and truly seeing how this earth declares the glory of God, His handiwork that He has done. When it is a cloudy day like it was when we was flying here, nothing but white clouds all over. You can't even see the ground, and you realize there's complete new space above these clouds. You know, it's dark down here underneath them, but you get above it, the sun is shining bright. I was excited to see my wife's expression since it was her first time. Because it's just a beautiful thing. I can't imagine what it looks like from outer space. I'm told if you go to the Creation Museum, it gives you a really good idea of what it's like. I hope to do that sometime. But it declares God's handiwork. Pick up with me back in verse 5. It says, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run a race. Its rising is from one end of the heaven and it circuits to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. God, His knowledge and wisdom on making sure that this world rotates the way it ought to, making sure the sun is just the right distance away so that we don't get burnt or we don't freeze to death, lining up the planets the way He has done, making sure, and I know I keep getting told about the drought you all have, but He's making sure you guys have what you need. Make sure that this earth is taken care of. We can turn to Matthew and see how He says, I take care of the lilies of the field. I take care of the birds of the air. I will take care of you. Look at this world and see that God has established and has done a wonderful job at what He has done. We can see there also in the 8th Psalm, in Psalm 8, and reading there in verse 3, as it reads along here and says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Honestly, consider that. Consider how huge this world is. Consider how big the sun is. Consider how many stars there are out in space. How many planets and all the things that He has done. Yet He is so mindful of you and I. We are a very small thing of His creation. We're not that big. But God has done so much to try to take care of us, to lead us in the right path, to make sure we have an opportunity for salvation, to be in heaven with Him. He loves us that much. God is a wonderful God, and He has done so much for us. We see God's power over such things in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew in chapter 8, as we read there in verse 26 and 27, as Jesus and His disciples here, the apostles that were with Him, and they were in the boat, and they were all scared and terrified, and here their Lord and Savior was sleeping away, and they're like, what are you doing? They were frightened for their lives. And here we read in verse 26, it says, but He said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then He rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the man marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey Him? God has control over it. Just as you guys are going through a drought, we saw on the television before we came here that somewhere else it is dealing with a flood. God controls that. Just as when we read in Genesis in chapter 6, when God decided to destroy the world with a great flood to flood the whole earth,
He had the power to do that. And after that flood, Noah had made sacrifices and he put a rainbow in the sky as a covenant that he would never do that again. He has the power to stop it from happening. God has power over it because He created it. And it gives Him the glory. It shows His wisdom and power and might. Once again, in the whole 148th Psalm, it brings out how we need to praise the Lord. And it's in one of our in a hymn book. So I don't know if it's in. But praise Him, sun and moon and star. Praise Him, all these things. Praise Him, everyone. It talks about the creatures, the sun, the moon, the stars, priests, kings, princes, young, old. Praise Him, all. And that's what this earth does. That's what all His creation should do. And most of His creation does that just because it simply does. But when we come to mankind, man and woman, we need to ask the question, are we giving God the praise? Are we praising Him as we ought to? Are we showing God's glory as we ought to? When people look at you, can they say, what a wonderful creation God has made? Can they look and see His handiwork? People might be asking, I'm not talking about who is good looking and bad looking, who is supposed to, you know, be on the models and not. It's not what I'm talking about. Well, let's take a look and see first. Look at what God has created and how it shows that. In Genesis chapter 2, it goes in more detail about how God went forth and created you and I. Genesis 2, and starting there in verse 7, says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." God gave us the breath of life. He gave us life. From the dust of this earth, which He created, He formed us. Once again, we did not evolve. We did not come from monkeys. We did not come from any animal. We simply came from the dust of the ground because God created us from the dust of the ground, from the things that He has already created. And in verse 21, he goes into other detail for the women. It says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man, and Adam said, this now is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." God created us. Once again, we read in Psalm when it says, "Why do you consider us? What makes us so special?" If you read there in chapter 1 and verse 26 of Genesis, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." We talked about how much God has created. You realize, once again, we talked about the earth and the world and the sun and how big they are compared to us. Consider just the creatures God has created. Consider the fish creatures that are out there in the ocean, the killer whale, the sharks. They're not small creatures. They're not weak creatures. But He gave us dominion over. We didn't evolve that way. God gave that to us. Think about the creatures of this earth. How fast lions and tigers are. How big a bear is. The power and strength that they have. But yet He gave us dominion over it. God established us. He created us. He gave us the knowledge to be able to have that wisdom and power over them. To be able to tame them. Be able to catch them. Be able to take them down and have them for food. God gave us that wisdom and understanding. We are not the fastest, the biggest, and the strongest. God looks after us. He has given this to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 Corinthians in chapter 8, and reading there in verse 5, here it says, "For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God and Father, of whom are all things, and we for Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live." Once again, here it says, whom are through all things. We are all through the one God, the one Savior. I want to look at one more passage this evening, and the lesson will be yours. If you turn along with me to Matthew, in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is being tempted here. He is being questioned. Matthew chapter 22, and reading along with me in verse 19, Jesus is questioned whether or not we should pay taxes. I want you to look at how Jesus answered that question. How He answered it. He says, "Show me the tax money." So they brought Him a denarius and said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They said to Him, "Caesar's." And He said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." The tax, the money, just as our money does today, has the image of those who rule over in our government. Has a picture of Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin. Has pictures of those people. I ask you, what has the image of God on it? God created us in His own image. There's a greater lesson than just paying taxes in this answer that Jesus was giving. Jesus is saying, I don't care about money. God wants you to give yourself over to God. Money is not going to buy your way into heaven. Render to God what is God's. I ask you that question again. Are we, as much as the heavens are, as much as the firmament is, as much as everything else is, giving glory to God? I'm going to look at one more verse if you don't mind. I know I said that as the last, but in James chapter 1, in James chapter 1, and then starting there in verse 22, it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." What is being said here is when we observe the word of God, and you do not take what it tells us to do, and you say, this says we ought to sing with our hearts, making grace and melody. It says here that we need to put away sexual immorality in our life. We need to stop being cussers and liars and drunkards. We need to be loving, kind, forgiving, and merciful. And we look at the Word of God and we say, oh yeah, that defines the things that I got caught up into yesterday. I need to repent.
but then you turn away and you do nothing about it. You're like the man who looks in the mirror, sees the smush, mud, and dirt all over his face and does nothing about it, turns around and forgets about it. He forgets what he just saw. The Word of God is supposed to be like a mirror to us. And when we read about Christ, you need to ask yourself, do you live up to what He has lived? Are we showing our love for one another as we ought to? Are we giving that glory over to God as we ought to? We were created in the image of God, and that's what God wants to be given back to Him. So I do not want to leave without extending God's invitation. In Matthew 11, verse 28, He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you need rest this evening, you need the prayers of the congregation, you need to be baptized and immersed in the water to wash away your sins so that you can be at ease and that you can lean upon the breast of Christ and receive that rest. If you're ready to go to work for God so that His glory can be praised, so His works can be praised, then you can do that tonight. Whatever your need be, come forward as we stand and sing.